the open sea, where the waves crash and scream, bar TV. The Pirate King, he's the captain of his dream, with his crew of renegades. They plunder, they prevail. Marty's got the swagger, he's got the wind in his sail. He crafted the pirate code to bring order to the wild. No mercy for the weak, it's survival of the fire. Marty's got a run so soul. He's known to drink quickly. Raise your cups up high, let's toast to misery.
Croeso and welcome to another edition of Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to be the saltiest podcast of the seven seas, the foamy bits on the high tide, and the most messy intro pod you've ever heard of. But you have heard of us.
Oh, yes.
Brought another, it back at the end.
A peek behind the curtain. Jack said, oh, we've done bad TV before. I'll just do one off the cuff now. I'll do a very quick off the cuff intro. And you started off so well. I thought, wow, the saltiest podcast. And then you fumbled at foam. I thought, oh, we should have taken a second. Yeah. But then what a return to form at the end. The crowd go mild.
It was an intro in three parts there, beginning, middle and end. It was great, yeah. If I don't say so myself.
Shit, man. Sorry, I was just saying to you before, because me and Jack have a mega weekend planned, but we both overdid it, because we don't eat when we drink, so we both thought we'll have food before we drink, and I had a bacon roll, then went for a walk and had a pint, and then had a cooked breakfast, and this is all before like 10:30, 11 in the morning.
that's definitely on you, though. Bacon sarnie. I'll just pop out for breakfast as well.
I feel so full now, and I just had a bit. I've been trying to like make myself free up some gas room, and I just took a big swig of my Peroni, and it felt like I got stabbed in my stomach. It was really painful.
Most people go, "Oh, I might have to lay off the drinking today." Yeah. Then not us. You go, "No, just have another swig. I'll get used to the stabbing." That's what
I would rather die. Yeah. I've been so excited for today. I would rather let fucking Hades himself cross the River Styx and come and take me.
Rake me across the coals if you must, for I am drinking all weekend. Yes,
we've been absolutely. Before we crack on with a bit of bants, made a note that like, we really should keep up the Patreon shout-outs. Because we just stopped doing it for fucking weeks, so I think we should
the last couple. But
I know. We're back on good form.
There was a big gap where we just I can't remember why or what was going on.
I know why. We're lazy. Yeah. We can't be arsed.
We're just fucking terrible at this whole thing.
Am I right in saying it's Ian Gardner?
It is Ian Gardner. He's next on the list. So a little shout out for you, Mr. Think of a good pun.
Old Green Fingers Ian over here, our budding gardener.
All right, yeah, okay, we'll give you that one. I can't think of any better, so I can't judge.
Gardens, the society grows best when old men plant flowers in gardens they know they'll never see. And that's Ian Gardner for you.
Nice one, Ian. Yeah,
cheers, Jan.
He's planting the seed of finance in our podcast. Is that going to work?
We had a you had a friend from uni called Ian.
And then
I met him like once or twice, and he was a bit shit. And we had another. I think maybe there was another. No, there wasn't even another Ian. But I said, "Oh, is shit Jan coming?" Because I don't know why we called him Jan.
It's because he had, his was spelt the same as this, Ian Gardner, which is just I-A-N. So we started calling him Jan using phonetics.
And then I called him Shit Jan. And then I went away for a long time. And I came back and he was still called Shit Jan. He was just...
Yeah, that was a seed plant if I've ever seen one, actually.
And it also, stuck just, so quickly. And you're like, I quite liked him.
He poisoned him, basically.
After that, everyone disliked him.
Yeah.
He was annoying, though.
I hope Ian's not listening to the podcast, bless his little heart, but also, don't do weird shit, innit?
Yeah,
don't
if you are listening, mate, it's sorry.
I mean,
he never knew we called him that anyway.
Until and now, if he's listening.
It sounds meaner than it is, because he was just annoying. And then I said, oh, is Shit Yan coming? And they were like, what? Why Shit Yan? And I was like, oh, why do you think? And then Shit Yan kind of stuck, didn't it? And then people would just refer to him behind his back like a little rat, like we are.
I was just about to say, he didn't know because we kept it behind his back because we're two-faced little bitches.
This doesn't paint us in a terribly nice light, but you know, you get the rough and the smooth, and people like Jan Gardner.
I'll tell you what,
they bring
Jan Gardner. We promise we won't do that to you, okay?
We'll have a solemn vow. We'll have Shit Jan and Good Jan, and Jan Gardner good is Jan. The Good Jan. Yeah, or Good Jan.
The opposite to shit. What's the opposite of shit? Good, not great, not class.
My brain good. Went to jizz. Opposite of shit
comes out the other end. Yeah. Comes out the other end.
I was thinking, what other things do you produce that's good? And I suppose jizz is good.
I feel we're like giddy. Mr. Gardner will not appreciate jizz yam as a as a nickname.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think you don't get like to that. Pick your
He's about to
life, do you?
Absolutely revoke his Patreon membership after this comes out.
I do think Jizz Yan is a good nickname.
I think you're not allowed to pick him, are you?
So I know you can't pick him. Got to be picked for you. So cheers, Jizz Yan.
I love that just me saying it to him as if he tried to pick it.
No,
you can't pick him, Yan.
You can't pick
no,
him,
come
Yan.
On, Jizz Yan. Jizz Yan, come on.
We're excited. We're giddy for a day on it.
You caught us on a great day, Jizz. Yeah, you've done us good, mate.
We got we're going for a whole actually, and you shouldn't be short to Jizzy. It has to be Jizzyan because I think that's better. So
sorry, yeah.
So don't fuck about. All right,
we take this shit very seriously.
I also made a note to mention. So I'm going over Jack's for the weekend because his wife's away and the dog shall play. And we're going to have a boozy weekend with our mate joining as well. That makes it sound more like a throuple. But we're going to have like just beers galore.
We're trying something new.
we love it when like our partners, well, we get to have like a debauch weekend of just boozing and watching films and being like teenagers again. Because like there's nothing less attractive than seeing me and you at like 8 a.m, crack a can. And I start cooking. I'm cooking a breakfast for everyone. Like,
when the fucking crows start fucking calling and the sun's coming up, and we go, well, I'll have a rum a while then. And they're like, stink. We've been farting all night. And gross. Should we chuck another episode of Night Fight on? Yeah. Go
and
on.
Then I have like a panic attack about 11 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. And then we wonder why can't we just do this when the girls are here? There's a reason for that. And they'd leave us, probably.
You see the attraction leave there. Heart when they're this is why I'm married. Well, you know, if you can't take me at my worst,
I'm gonna do. Yeah. I'll let me at worst and zoom in the best. I'm on the remainder of Bud Lights I had in my fridge, right? But I've got a veritable fridge full. I've planned everything, mate. I bought 18 cans of Carlin, right? Because I thought that'll do us for the whole 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I've got 10 Foster's Shandies, which we sampled when we went on our little trip away the other week.
I hate Shandies.
Absolutely. No. Oh, well, you're not one of the enlightened few, but I love them on a hangover because they're just like little pops, aren't they? So I was like, that'll be my little starter beer tomorrow then when we're
There's something about like frothy stuff, I don't know, like when it feels like you're drinking something a bit, like it's not thick like a pint, it's something a bit, like, I don't know, it goes through me. You know, like I don't like mayo because it's too white. I don't like certain things that just go through my brain and I go, oh, I can't, I feel like when I'm drinking it, it feels like I'm drinking like foam, like when you touch it, it just feels horrible or crunchy and crunchy.
Oh, these aren't foamy boys, mate, because they're pre-mixed. Did you not have one when we went
Foam, like in your bit in packaging.
I was thinking you were saying like I was mixing them myself. Yeah. The foam on the top of you, the beautiful, delicious foam. You know?
No, I just it's not for me. Keep it yourself, mate. And what else you got?
I also got a bottle of rum in, even though I've got like 2 bottles of rum in the house. But I was like, you just can't be too careful. And it was worth it as well, so you might as well stock up, you know.
You can't be
make
too
hay
careful.
While the sun shines and all that shit. Yeah. I also got, and this is just for me and you. If you want to bring nice Coke, you'll have to get it yourself because I've got my shit Coke.
Yeah. And by that, he means Pepsi. Not, we're not getting on the hard stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, not on the old fucking marching.
I got coat that's been heavily stood on. I've got some really bad coat.
Mine's at least 50% talc. But yeah,
so you want, I got a lot of rat poison in mine. But if you want to bring that creamo bosh.
Yeah, you can share my rat poison shit, but if you want your own stash, you got to bring it. Oh, brilliant. Very good. We're in great spirits.
We're in good form. We're happy. We're having a laugh. I was going to... Should I crack on with my one then? Because it's...
Oh, I was going to ask, what are you drinking currently?
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to...
Did you mention Peroni, the dizzy mix of the fancy Peroni?
Well, because I'm still at mine, and I'm going to come to yours very shortly, I didn't want to get like a whole crate in and just leave them here. So I thought I'd get three tall boys of Peroni.
Oh, lovely.
And like, I'm so with you, of course, Nicole. I thought it would pretend to be a bit more station, but fuck do I love a nice Peroni and a nice Asahi. That's as good as it gets for me. That's is all I ever need.
Oh, mate, Asahi, I've got a tall boy of my own in there. I chucked it on the Tesco delivery this morning as a little treat, so I think I might have that when you arrive as a little celebration.
I've arrived. Asahi. Jizyan, both sound like types of Asian beer.
Jizyan, oh, that bloody Jizyan.
It was a delicious Jizyan, that is.
Yeah.
I heard a rumour, now this could be a vicious rumour. Is Asahi and Peroni the same thing? You know, like Madri and Carlin have been like exposed as being the same drink?
Is it Madri? I thought it was Madri and Coors or something, wasn't it? I don't know which.
No,
which
I think Carlin, because you know what I'm like. I'm
like Carlin.
Yeah, it's Carlin is it, and Madri.
I think I've heard that, yeah, where it's the same drink, but they slapped a little premium on top because it's like, Madrid-based thing.
They're owned by they're both, if we come full circle, they're both owned by Coors, Carlin and Madri. But Madri is an old Carlin recipe from the 80s, marketed in a fancy waistcoat. Apparently, according to Lad Bible.
The premium news source of our generation. what were we saying then about Peroni and Asahi? I won't hear that because Asahi, I've built my personality around loving Asahi. So
yeah, it makes you a bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's actually Japanese Japanese brew.
It's from the Orient. I'm a travelled man. Yeah. I don't know if we call it the Orient anymore.
Yeah, we're saying like, I stan Asahi.
It is
kawaii or whatever the fuck.
Well, I would say top, outside your normal piss lager that you drink, an Asahi fucking outstanding. Peroni
premium
is nice
lager, that is.
If you're having a meal with the missus and she's having a wine, so you can go a bit fancy as well. Something stunning about like an Indian beer, like when you have like a kingfisher.
I was just about to say, a tiger, mate.
Tiger beer, yeah. They have such a strong place in my heart, those ones do. I think a kingfisher I prefer, though. What do you go for?
I like a kingfisher. When they used to do them back in... In spoons, they used to do...
Yeah, with Tiskies as well, like $1.99.
They were really cheap. Tiskies and Kingfisher, big bottles. They were great. I used to rack those Kingfishers up. Rack them up, baby.
Another drugs reference. Racking up our lines.
I can't get my head away from the Coke today. Yeah.
All right, then. Shall we do a deep... How do I segue? Someone else used to like to rack up waves. That's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. Talking of illicit trade, such as drug trade, today we're going to focus on one of the finest pirates to ever sail the seven seas. We've covered Barty V a bit on this podcast. He was one of our early episodes, and I think we've done a follow-up to him.
One of our first loves.
Yeah, one of our first hates, because we recorded his episode once, and back before we knew how to do it on separate tracks, and when we were like very young podders, and it was, I think I spent 3.5 hours trying to fix the audio, and I did all of it, and then I got to the other one, and then fucking shit.
And then we scrapped it, didn't we?
But I'd already committed like 2 hours in, and I was sat on my bed, like breaking my back because I didn't sit on a chair properly. And I was just there like, oh my God. It actually gives me a bit of trauma thinking about that. And then we scrapped it and just did it all again anyway. And then I think we might have done.
We've
definitely done. I think we made it a two-parter, maybe. But we've covered him
because we did like his early life, and then we did like his Pirates Code stuff.
Pirates Code stuff, yeah. So go back and listen to that one. Just type in on, if you search on Spotify, Bad TV Tales for Wales, we should be one of the, we should pop up. I imagine we should pop up.
If you've been, I would like to think, year and a half in, I'd like to think we come up somewhere.
Yeah, if you type in our name and the episode, you might just find it, guys, okay? But this story focuses on the later years of Bad TV. And like I said, if you haven't checked on the other ones, you can go check our back catalogue. But as a quick recap, Bartholomew Roberts, born 17th of May 1682, was born John Roberts, and he was a Welsh pirate who was the cream of the crop. He was considered the most successful pirate of the golden age of piracy. And during his tyrannical reign, he took over 400 prize ships.
I love that the title as well, the most famous, the successful pirate in the golden age of piracy. It sounds like a WWE thing. The most successful pirate in the golden age of piracy.
He's like the Raw era, the Attitude era.
Oh yeah, he'd definitely be Raw era, wouldn't he? Yeah, the Attitude era.
So Vanity raided ships off of the Americas and off West Africa, or on the West African coast between 1719 and 1722. It was also noted as creating his own pirate code, which Jack just mentioned, which we covered extensively on the previous episode. And he created the early variant of the skull and crossbones flag, which is synonymous with
the Jolly Roger
pirates. sorry, and now and he's with me today. He's in the room. But now we join Baddity in 1721, where him and his crew had pretty much brought all trade to a complete terrified standstill in the once bustling West Indies. So he was so prolific and dangerous that countries like Spain, Britain, Portugal, the Dutch would stop all their trade to the West Indies, which was a lot of, you know, sugar, slavery, all these, you know, pretty dark things.
We can't sail MCs, my lord. That's Barty D's, the territory.
Yeah, and they had to stop all of it. And even during this time, right, there's a mad story where Barty caught the governor of Martinique, which is like an island of the West Indies, who was sailing aboard a 52-gun French warship, so like a really powerful warship.
Big time.
And the governor was caught and apparently hanged from the yardarm of his own ship, which the parents had now renamed the Royal Fortune. And apparently, you'll hear this a lot throughout this. Every ship they caught, they just renamed it the Royal Fortune or the Good Fortune.
I remember reading about that when we were doing our notes on the first time we passed through Barty D. He just goes, what should you call this one?
Fortune.
Royal Fortune again?
Again, my lord? Well, I suppose when you caught 400 ships, you just get sick of fucking naming them. So
yeah, but at the same time, you go, send the Royal Fortune in to change the tide. Which one? Which one do you want about?
Some rumors of just how brutal Barty was during this capture with this fucking governor are slightly disputed. But according to various experts, this reported capture was an embellishment. So you know what I said then, he hung him from the yardarm. This here might have been embellished by a guy called Captain Charles Johnson in a book called A General History of the Pirates, which is a book where he tries to drum up terror and excitement of the tales of piracy to, like, you know, get better sales. So he like kind of exaggerates some stuff. However, French sources claim that while Baddity did capture and torture some French officials by pretending to hang them, so he hung them but then let them go, he in fact released most of them. And it was mostly just like a terror tactic. And also the governor, a bit of theatre, like just say this is what I could do, but he often wouldn't do it just to like make them do what he wanted. But as I mentioned, he'd taken all the ships and stopped trading in the West Indies, and his ships, the Royal Fortune and Good Fortunes, were like, right, well, we've done all this, so we're going to fuck off to West Africa, where lots of slave trade was happening. So on April 18th, Thomas Anstice, the commander of one of the Good Fortunes, left Roberts at the night and continued to raid shipping in the Caribbean. With future captains John Fenn and Brigstock Weaver aboard, the other ships then left towards Africa. So he left one ship there with good commanders on there to just continue being fucking a menace. And then by late April, Roberts, Batty D himself, had arrived at Cape Verde Islands. So Cape Verde, or Verde, I don't know how you say it, fucking sue me, I'm not a pirate. and he left his boat, the Royal Fortune, due to it being leaky and worn, which is how I described
it. It's just the naming convention, just so, the Royal Fortune's all leaky, going to go and repairs. Yeah. Which one? We got 400 of the bastards.
And leaky and worn is how Jack describes his arse.
Also, sorry that I interrupted and interjected with my little comment when you were clearly setting yourself up for a pat on the back joke.
When you listen back, you'll hear I said it, but you'll also hear I messed up the start because I said that's how I describe, and it sounds like I'm going to say I describe my ass. So Batty D and his pirates transferred to the Sea King, which they then renamed Royal Fortune.
Sea King's such a cooler name.
Isn't it such a better name? So the new Royal Fortune made landfall off Guinea coast in early June near the mouth of the Senegal River. Two French ships, one with 10 guns and one with 16 guns, unknown who they were about to confront, gave chase to dear old murderous Batty D. So he, in classic form, outguessed, outwitted, and outmaneuvered them and captured both of their ships. We kind of dragged them away off to the shoals and then took both their ships. One of the ships...
That's such a thing in a film, a cut two, isn't it? After him, cut two, then being tied up.
These
are our ships. This happened. Yeah.
One of the ships, the Comte de Toulouse, was renamed Ranger, so we have a new one. And then another the other ship, was renamed Little Ranger and was used as a store ship. Sorry, got hiccups.
Ranger and Little Ranger. After 400 plus Royal Fortunes, Ranger and Little Ranger, I'm all right with them.
Yeah. Now the crew headed for Sierra Leone, and they arrived on 12th of June, where he was told by retired pirate John Old Crackers Leadstone, which is such a good name. Old Crackers!
You listen, Old Crackers again, have you?
Old Crackers ain't got a clue what's going on here, my lord. So Old Crackers Leadstone, at your service. Old Crackers had told him that there's two British Royal Navy ships, HMS Swallow and HMS Weymouth, had left at the end of April, planned to return before
HMS
Christmas.
HMS Swallow and HMS Spit,
Oh, very good. So Old Crackers said, listen, they're gone. They're gone for Christmas. So, this meant he was able to act with less fear of a larger sea battle at the start of this reign of terror of Africa. And he kind of was hoping for that. He was kind of ready, right, I know when they're going to be coming and going and when they need to get home and stuff like that. So he gave quite a good guess that by the time he got there, most of the British ships around the area would probably have to go home and restock and avoid the bad weather of coming back. So this meant he was able to act with pretty much impunity. And on 8th of August, he captured two large ships at Point Sestos, which is now the River Sest in Liberia. One of those was a frigate Onslow, which just reminds me of Keeper of Appearances, because in uni I used to wear a vest when I was slobbing about, and my mate said I looked like Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances. One of these frigates was called Onslow, and it was transporting loads of soldiers bound for Cape Coast, Cabo Corso now, which is a castle off Africa. And now a number of these soldiers had just been captured on this frigate, expressed their wish to join the pirates. They were fucking hell, I think we mentioned before, and it shouldn't surprise previous listeners, that pirates had a much more democratic way of living under Batty D. And people were paid a far better wage than they were if they were Navy or soldiers.
Yeah.
They had input and they got to vote on actions and they picked their leaders and they had say of what was going on. And they worked it out in a fair way, so people made a decent wage.
Even though the captain and the sort of higher up as navigators and all that, they had technically more of a vote than say someone who was a bloody pot wash or something like that, or someone who's just scrubbing the decks, but they could in theory be outvoted because if enough of the crew said they didn't want to participate in a battle or go after some whatever objective that the captain had said, they would actually follow along with it. So it was it's surprising you think of them as cutthroats, don't you? Well, they were, I suppose, but a bit more civilized than you think.
And life expectancy for a sailor during this time, not a pirate, but a sailor for the British Navy, was fucking sometimes a year. It was really, really, really short. It was, I think it was something like 13 months was the average life expectancy for someone at sea during this time.
And it was a hard slog, wasn't it, for like fuck all pay as well.
Yeah. And Bounty himself started life off being captured by pirates and decided it was a better life than serving. He was on a slave ship called the, I think it was called the Princess, when he was as a young lad. So he made the career change to become a pirate, for it was a pirate's life for he. And it's worth remembering that his original ship he was working on, he was captured by another infamous Welsh pirate, Captain Howell Davis. And we mentioned before...
I was just about to say, the captain of the vessel that captured him was a Welshie as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I'll go into that in a second. But it was Bounty's ability to speak Welsh and his impressive navigational skills that Captain Davis noticed and soon made him rise up the ranks at such a young age. And we discussed this before, but there's so many successful pirates come from West Wales and Captain Morgan's from South Wales. But if you want to learn more about that, we do like a couple of pirate episodes. So just type in Tales of Wales Pirates and you'll go find them. Or we'll put a link in the description maybe. Mm. But back to the story. So most of the soldiers were eventually accepted to the crew. So that just makes this crew bigger and bigger and stronger. However, they received a quarter of the pirates' pay this time because they weren't sailors most of their lives. Most of them had, these were soldiers being transported. So they didn't have the same skill. So,
right. So they probably didn't have the, they wouldn't know how to keep the ship running and everything, yeah.
No. And Onslow, the ship where these soldiers were captured from, was converted to become another royal fortune. So this is the fourth royal fortune in his current, ensemble of boats he currently had. So he had four royal fortunes traveling at the same time here.
Just doesn't make sense. Just call them something slightly different, don't you? Royal fortune, the bad fortune, good fortune. Yeah, I've just done it then.
So four royal fortunes come in. Anyway, now we get to November, December. The pirates careened their ships, which is like when you kind of hoist them down for a while, and they relax off Cape Lopez and on the island of Annobon. And they were just chilling during the off season. So, like, even pirates have a little downtime.
The off season. Yeah. I love that. All the pirates go, you going back next year?
I'll be back.
Yeah, every year, mate. You know me.
So they were chilling. They had, like, just, you know, just like, you can just picture them with all their loot, all their winnings, spending all their money.
Think of the rum.
Well, I actually come in. Yeah, I'll discuss that in a second. But yeah, they just got like merrily on it for a couple of months in the sun of the African heat. However, come January 1722, they were back to the same old ways and began capturing more ships. So they captured a whole slew of ships before heading on to the Quidawa Harbour. Quidawa Harbour is a city in southern Benin in West Africa. And they sailed in with multiple powerful ships, all brimming with cannons and pirates aloft and all the notorious black flags flying. So, like, you know, they all of a sudden this trade port in West Africa had this the full strength of Paddy V's ships coming.
Shit got real quick.
And there were 11 ships harboured, anchored at this harbour. They immediately struck their colours, which means they lowered their flag. That signifies, like, a ship's, like, so say if I had, like, a Welsh flag flying, I took that down and essentially it recognises surrender. So all these ships immediately surrendered, but Bounty had enough ships at this stage that he decided to, like, restore them back to their owners for a ransom. So he was like, if you give me £8 of gold dust per ship, you can have your ship back. Because he just had too many and not enough crew to manage that many ships.
It turns out you can have one too many royal fortunes. So he just went, right, you can have these ones back.
Well, this is all fine and dandy, except one of the masters of one of the ships refused these terms. So Bounty and his crew climbed aboard the ship and set her on fire. And now this is a bleak aspect of the story and a good reminder why we shouldn't romanticize our Welsh pirates too much. Because I think we mentioned on the last episode, sometimes because they're Welsh, we're like, oh, they're just, you know, salt of the mill. Like,
yeah, what a cad.
Like, yeah, but sadly, it's fucking so bleak. He set this ship on fire that was full of slaves. And there was the port that I mentioned, Quida, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, I'm sorry. It was an infamous slave port. And today there's a giant bronze memorial arch called the Door of No Return, which depicts slaves being taken from Africa ready for the Americas. And it's thought, you know, millions of people went through these this beach and were never seen again. So this one ship that refused to pay was set on fire. And sadly, around 80 slaves who were all from Africa died. And it's noted they either perished as a result of the fire or by drowning or shark attack after jumping overboard.
Because like you said, you think, like, in some of the stories you hear about, they take a slave ship and they, like, offer the slaves, do you want to join our crew? And you think, oh, that's fair. That's cool. That's like sort of...
And that's the thing.
What's the word? Like, accommodating of them. But then, like, yeah, then you hear something like that, we go, just burn 80 people to death.
Or, lots of his ship.
Choose between burning and drowning.
Loads of his ship crew were ex-slaves. And, like, we mentioned before how multicultured his crews were. They were people from, like, Scotland, Wales, England, Ireland. And then there's people from, like, Portugal, Spain, Germany, or not Germany, Dutch, Africa, South America, Caribbean. Like, he had a hugely vast, like, people who, you know, the down and outs joined his place. But it's also important to remember that he was a murderous pirate who, yeah, burned alive 80 people. So then... and this was like a big, you know, 11 ships. He got so much money from there, and in a really important port for the New World. You know, this is like where their biggest, their slavery was one of the biggest parts of the economy. And he just done this big attack on them. So in 5th of February, 1722, Captain Ogle. I'm Hoggle.
Hoggle. I was about to say Hoggle.
Hoggle.
He sailed out of the Bog of Eternal Stench. And,
on the HMS Swallow, no less, he was on. So he came back on that HMS Swallow that we mentioned earlier, and he came upon the pirate ships, the Royal Fortune, the Ranger, and the Little Ranger, careening at Cape Lopez. So he saw them, like, resting. So HMS Swallow veered away to avoid the shore, which is, like, you know, the part where your boat could get marooned, making the pirates thinking the HMS Swallow was fleeing, like it was a merchant ship that was trying to escape. Some sources claim Ogle spotted Robert's bounty of these ships and turned Swallow as a ruse. So he was like, right, they think I'm running away, they think I'm a merchant ship, the pirates think it's a merchant ship. So they came after it in pursuit. So the Ranger went first, commanded by that James Skirm. And once out of earshot of the other pirates, the HMS Swallow opened fire from her gun ports, and 10 pirates were killed automatically, and Skirm had his leg taken off by a cannonball. But he refused to leave the deck. He was just like, these pirates are, like, pretty hardcore, but he stayed on deck with his leg shot off. But eventually, after, like, being battered by this ruse, the Ranger was forced to strike her colours, and the other ships didn't go with him because they thought it was just a fucking merchant ship on its own.
Yeah, so they're like, right, you
go. Yeah, so they got absolutely done over, and they ended up all the surviving crew then were then captured and placed under arrest. And then a couple of days later, on the 10th of February, so it was 5 days later, the HMS Swallow returned to Cape Lopez and found Royal Fortune still there. And on the previous day, Roberts had captured Neptune, which is another ship. I say Roberts, Badity the. Sometimes I call him Roberts, but because he's Bartholomew Roberts. Yeah. So
again, Neptune, pretty good name for a boat.
Yeah, and he'd been on
Royal
this.
Fortune.
Yeah, and many of the crew were drunk and unfit for duty because they just won this big battle. So that would often be the case. You have the
celebrating.
Celebrate. And again, as a reminder, Badity didn't drink, but his crew would go hog wild for rum, which is far sweeter.
I was just about to say, he was teetotal, wasn't he? Which is one of the few things we don't like him from, apart from the burning the slaves.
Burning the slaveries and doesn't drink. two of our things, our least favourite
things. Two transgressions of equal impact in my eyes.
So, Badity, like I said, his crew would go hog wild, especially for rum, because it was way sweeter than alcoholic drinks at the time. And it was a relatively new invention. It'd only been around since, like, the 1600s.
Totes relate.
Our drink of choice as well. But at first, due to their hazy, boozy condition and disposition, they thought the boat was approaching them was the Ranger. They were like, oh, good, it's come back now after 5 days away. But a deserter from that very ship, from the HMS Swallow, recognized her and informed Badity whilst he was breakfasting with another captain, who was actually the master of the Neptune they just captured. And he was having breakfast with that captain called Captain Hill. So he's like this charming pirate who would capture a boat and then have breakfast with you, because his thing.
Yeah, do you want a bacon sandwich? We'll have a walk and then we'll have a full English breakfast.
The classic Welsh breakfast. He was always just about wealth. He wasn't really about, like, you know, necessarily, like, he didn't have a war with the French or the Germans or the English, or whatever. It wasn't
a political thing or anything. No. Yeah, just give me the money.
And what's also great, he was. Which is something we really love about Badity. He was a man for the occasion. So he was well known for dressing impeccably. So picture like Dustin Hoffman in The Hook, you know, the film Hook. In classic fashion, as he usually did for any action. So he was told, right, this boat's coming, HMS Swallow, prepare yourself for battle. So he dressed himself in his finest clothes. And this is a quote I'm reading from now. Roberts, they called him by his English name, Roberts himself made a giant gallant figure. At the time of the engagement, being dressed in a rich crimson damsack waistcoat and breeches, a red feather in his hat and a gold chain round his neck with a diamond cross hanging to it, a sword in his hand and two pairs of pistols slung on his shoulders. So he's just there in his fucking great regalia, feather hat and all
like
this thing.
Like a fucking pirate version of Flavor Flav or something, just goes into battle. Yeah. Great.
The pirates' plan was to sail past Swallow, which meant expose themselves one broadside. Once passed, they'd have a good chance of escaping, because they're like, right, we haven't got enough. This is a big ship we're going up against. We're not ready for it. All of our men are hungover. Let's just fucking scarper. So they're going to go fast as they could, past the ship, on the one broadside, and get out of there. However, the helmsman failed to keep the Royal Fortune on the right course, and Swallow was able to approach and deliver a second broadside, which is when all the cannons and guns on one side of the ship fire at once. So, you know, it's that classic image you have of cannons poking out of their house and they all fire at one go. The HMS Swallow, as well, was classed as a fourth-rate ship by the British, which means it was relatively small. And its weapons, they weren't really strong enough to take down a huge boat anymore. It was a bit more outdated. Mm. It still had 50 cannons on board. And it was built by the British, who like conquered much of the world with them. It's seafaring ways and shipbuilding and manning skills. So Captain Hoggle, who led the ship, he still thought he had the upper hand, even though his ship wasn't the world's best. But he was like, I got God on my side and I'm a British ship commander. Like, I can do this.
Yeah, he backed himself.
Yeah, so he lined up this ship perfectly. And then the broadside attack was devastating. Like, it took chunks out of the wood, damaged the sail, and injured and maimed loads of the crew. But like I said, they weren't massively powerful, so they didn't actually kill too many people. But one poor sod to perish was Captain Bartholomew Roberts, Captain Barty V. He was one of the few, there was three of them who died. He was hit by a grape shot, which is like a cluster of metal grapes that are fired from a cannon that separate and fire across multiple, like indiscriminate directions.
That's like specifically for killing people, as opposed to smashing the boat up, isn't it? Yeah.
And in this instance, one exploded and ripped through Barty V's throat whilst he stood on the deck, like he often would, to show like how brave and fearless he was. So he was
you want ripped as well.
Yeah.
You don't want your throat ripped.
But he bled out really quickly because of it. But as he'd repeatedly requested in his life, he wanted to be buried at sea and avoid having his body captured. So his crew gathered up all of his arms and ornaments and all his gold and stuff to weigh him down, and he threw him overboard, wrapped in the ship's sail. And his body, although much sought after for like a long time, has never been found.
Clean by the sea.
Yeah. And the battle continued for another 2 hours until Royal Fortune's main mast fell and the pirates signalled for quarter, aka surrendered. One member of the crew, John Phillips, tried to reach all the gunpowder with a lighted match to blow up the ship, but he was prevented by others. Because he was like, fuck it, we're going down. We're not going to surrender. We're going to kill ourselves.
Christ, I imagine that. Right, let's come on, boys. We'll just blow up the old ship with us on it. Is it? Whoa, yeah. Mate. No, I'm not quite that keen.
Yeah. So, surprisingly, only three pirates were killed in the battle. Like I said, one being the fearless leader, Captain Bartholomew Roberts, a.k.a. Barty V, a.k.a. Black Bart. And a total of 272 pirates serving under him had been captured during the battle. Of those, 65 were former African slaves that Roberts had emancipated, and they were sold. But then they were sadly sold back into slavery post being captured. The remainder were taken to Cape Coast Castle. Apart from those who died on the voyage back, so when they got there, 54 were condemned to death. Of whom 52 were hanged and 2 were reprieved. Another 20 were allowed to sign indentures with the Royal African Company. But this switch to this Royal African Company, instead of like a quick death, was described as having exchanged an immediate death for a lingering one. It just shows like how bad life at sea was for sailors. So the guy who said this was suggesting it probably would be better just to be hung than live out. Like,
yeah, because imagine the fucking slog they'd have to be put through until they just died of probably like exhaustion, malnutrition, or whatever.
And then 17 men were sent to prison in London for trial, where some were acquitted and released. Interestingly, though, so many of the, like we mentioned before, so many of these pirates were from Wales. So like we mentioned there was Barty V, Captain Morgan, Captain Howell. However, the pirates captured on his board, there was a whopping 42% were from Cornwall, Devon or Somerset. So West Country pirates. And then there was like 20% from London. And there was only a really small amount of pirates on his ship who were from Wales. There was a couple from Northern England, a couple from where he was from, and then another quarter from places like Ireland, Scotland, the West Indies, Netherlands, and Greece. So despite being the Welsh pirate, he didn't have a huge amount on this ship that was captured. Captain Ogle, the man who pulled off this insane win, was rewarded with a knighthood, the only British naval officer to be honoured specifically for his actions against pirates. He also profited financially, taking gold dust from Captain Morgan's cabin, and he eventually became an admiral. And this battle was like the turning point in the war against pirates, with many considering the death of Bartizzi as the mark of the end of the Golden Age of piracy. So with his death comes the end of pirates.
If you revere this guy as like one of the biggest and best, when he goes down, it's kind of like that is the death knell kind of thing in the era.
There's a quote from a book called Villains of All Nations, Atlantic Pirates in the Golden Age, reads, "The defeat of Roberts and the subsequent eradication of piracy off the coast of Africa represented a turning point in the slave trade and even larger history of capitalism." So he's kind of saying, like, once this happened, the slave trade could boom because there was no longer pirates stopping. Weirdly, they were stopping one of the worst things to ever happen in human existence by being awful pirates themselves. So
by being awfully greedy, yeah.
You little pirate pig. Hope you enjoyed that tale.
That was good, man. That was really good.
Cheers, man. I'm desperate for a piss. So can we say wrap this up and we'll catch everyone next week? Diolchum Grandor. We love you so much. Drop us a photo of you. Yo ho! Yo ho!